Chronicles of Nadia, Book 2, The Silver Sling Chair. Kitty woke with a smile on her face and a sense of weightlessness. She blinked and looked about, but saw only the gleaming carved walls of the Cavern of the White Witch around her, above her, and below her. Her sense of weightlessness came from her suspension from the ceiling in a sequence of silver cords that were knotted together to form the loosest of seats, enough to support her back and bottom, yet barely enough to be more than a few strands, leaving every part of her exposed. Her legs were run through separate loops and tied off at the calves, leaving her immodestly splayed. Similarly, her arms were secured loosely yet relentlessly overhead. As she tested the bonds, the sling swayed with her efforts. As she continued to struggle, she saw two women, not the witch, enter the room, one with pitch raven hair, the other a sandy blonde. Both had flawless skin and were dressed in sheer flimsy gowns that stopped at their hips and hid nothing. Both were trimmed about the breast and hemline with soft fur, the raven-haired beauties the color of night, the others of snow. Both girls had flawless skin and wore nothing else, not even shoes, except for a sheen of paint on their fingernails and toenails that matched the white or the black of their short peignoirs. "She's awake," said the snow girl. "Ever stating the obvious," said the night girl. Snow rolled her eyes. "Let's just get her ready for Her Highness," she said without argument. They crossed the room and reached into one of the many small alcoves. "I'll bet you'd like to put some shoes on by now," Snow said to Kitty. Kitty didn't reply, refusing to take her eyes off either of them, watching them suspiciously as they returned, each bearing a pink satin slipper, just in her size. They held up the shoes for Kitty to inspect, Snow smiling sweetly, Night having a glint of menace in her smirk. "Just shoes?" Kitty said as they approached. "I should think that shoes should be enough," Night chuckled. "See?" And she held up her shoe for Kitty to see inside. Kitty gasped. The soles of the slippers had been hollowed away, replaced with several horizontal rows of bristle rollers along the bottom. As Night tipped it forward, Kitty could see four vertical bristle bars down in the toe. Snow, meanwhile, had begun slipping her shoe onto the appropriate foot. Kitty yelped as she felt her sole slide in and over the rolling bristles, wriggling her foot madly, but Snow was stronger than she appeared and held the ankle fast, carefully fitting the shoe so that the four vertical rollers slipped neatly between Kitty's toes. As Snow laced the shoe firmly in place, Night was repeating the process with the other foot, being far less gentle about it than had been Snow. "No, please," Kitty begged. Snow smiled at her sympathetically and stroked her thigh, but Night only laughed as she continued to wiggle the shoe onto Kitty's foot as she laced it up. "Done," said Night as she stepped back, admiring her handiwork. Kitty, cheeks flushed, lay panting on the sling, trying hard not to wiggle her feet at all so that the brushes would not roll. "Announce her." "She's ready," Snow called out to the walls. "I could have done that," Night snapped. Snow shrugged her shoulders. From the same alcove, the White Queen appeared, still clad in the billows of white ermine that Kitty had seen her in before. She approached the two ladies, who separated for her to pass, curtsying, exposing their behinds as they did. She patted each of them on the head as she passed, and even Knight's demeanor changed to one of adoration as they both looked up to their mistress. Queen Alice continued to where Kitty hung suspended. "Good morning, child," she said sweetly. "Sleep well?" "Why are you doing this to me?" Kitty cried, trembling. "I'm just a kid. Let me go." Snow and Night both hid a grin behind their hands. "I'll let you go?" the White Queen asked. "Without a dance?" "You will dance for me, won't you? In your enchanted dancing shoes?" Kitty looked down at the pink satin slippers encasing her delicate feet. I can't stand in these things," she said. "Please don't make me." The thought of putting the weight of her body on the bristles inside made Kitty cringe with the idea of the tickles that it would inflict. Now Snow and Night couldn't help but giggle aloud. "Stand?" the White Queen intoned. I didn't say anything about standing. Just dancing. Terpsichore! At the word, the rollers inside the shoes began to slowly spin along her soles and between her toes. No! Kitty screamed, overtaken with maniacal laughter. The sling began to sway, the elasticity of the cords tested as Kitty kicked and flailed her legs this way and that, never escaping the cords or the shoes, never touching the ground, a screeching marionette dancing to the tune of the Witch of Wicked Glee. The witch clapped her hands together once, and music filled the chamber, magically increasing and decreasing in tempo to match Kitty's frantic dance. Make it stop! Kitty begged. Please! 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 The White Queen ignored Kitty's cries for mercy and seated herself on her icy throne, her ermine gown parting and revealing her nudity beneath. Night and Snow knelt at either side of Queen Alice and laid their heads against her bare thighs. The White Queen absently stroked both their heads as one might a cat, as they both watched the torture before them. Soon, both Night and Snow began to stroke the Queen's thighs, their hands sliding higher toward her womanhood, which appeared as though it had never sprouted a hair. They looked up once, asking permission with their eyes, and when the Queen didn't make a move to stop them, they began to pleasure her with their fingers. Kitty bounced and begged as the bristles changed direction, the soft bristles scrubbing on her heel, her instep, the ball of her foot, and even her toe pads. In between her toes was maddening. Please, she cried amid her laughter. I'm begging you. The White Queen gently lifted the hands away from her sex. Snow and Night both looking up at her in disappointment as she rose from the throne and slowly sauntered over to the laughing and crying girl. As though they sensed her approach, the roller brushes and the slippers slowed to a leisurely roll, the music quiet. "Would you like me to slip those shoes off you?" the Queen asked sweetly. Kitty panted,
Yes, please, please.
The Queen smiled. You may exchange the shoes for something more modest if you wish, she cooed, stroking the young girl's puffy labia. Kitty shivered at the touch, which still tickled from the earlier spell the witch had cast. I have some special panties you could wear instead. At this, Snow was standing beside Kitty, holding up an hourglass of cloth with strings at the corners. Along the borders of the cloth were feathers, inserted at their quills. The entire face of the cloth was coated in goose down, and a ridge of half-inch feathers ran vertically from top to bottom.
The shoes are fine, thank you, she stammered.
Very well, the Queen said, turning away with a snap. The music returned louder than before, and the bristles resumed rolling fiercer than ever.
Ah! Kitty cried. I'll wear them! I'll wear them! I'll wear the panties!
Queen Alice smiled and nodded to Snow and Night, who brought the panties to Kitty. The girls fitted the cloth between her legs, lining up the ridge of feathers with their slit and bum crack, tying off the strings at either side. Kitty could feel the soft down against her mons and cheeks, even as she felt the more invasive touch of the slightly taller, stiffer feathers, and the annoying caresses of the even taller feathers that lined what now made up the waistband and both leg bands of the panties.
The shoes! Kitty cried, for they were still tickling madly at her feet.
And indeed, Snow and Night had to stand close to either side of Kitty to control her tickle-induced swaying to get the panties on her.
Yes, love, you may keep the shoes, the Queen said with a smirk.
No!
Kitty wailed. Take them off!
The Queen said. That offer was only good for the moment, and you refused it. Still, a slow dance might be in order. She snapped.
and a different tune began to play, a lilting melody that slowed the bristles in the shoes to a mere crawl. Kitty, still tittering, was able to catch her breath as her feet twitched the shoes to either side. As she settled into mild giggles, the wild swaying of the sling came to a near stop. "You've got to put some hip motion into it," the queen chided. "Dancing's not done with feet alone." "Pudenda clitora anusque!" At the words, the feathers along the waist and leg bands began to rotate on their quills, brushing Kitty's lower tummy and all about her upper thighs. Simultaneously, the stiff feathers lining the ridge seam inside began to do the same, teasing the length of the pleasure line that began at the tip of her slit and ended at the upper crack of her bum. Even the downy, soft feathers that lined the interior seemed to somehow vibrate against her cheeks, mons, and labia. "Oh, no, no, no!" Kitty giggled, twitching her hips this way and that. She still was not acclimated with the idea that these parts of her body could feel so. ticklishness, and the newness, as well as the spell, made them all the more sensitive to even the slightest touch. She wriggled her bottom from side to side, thrust her hips forward and back. The roller brushes in her slippers continued to slowly wreak tickly havoc on her soles and between her toes. Tears blurred the young girl's vision as she hung helplessly suspended in the air, yipping and yelping, giggling and tittering as her tender areas continued to be tortured by soft moving parts. "Such lovely devices," the queen said airily, once again on her throne, and once again being attended by Snow and Night. Blinking away the tears, Kitty could see the glistening of moisture between the queen's puffy lips, lovingly kept parted by both Snow and Night. "But sometimes," the queen continued, "sometimes a human touch is what's required." She looked down at the girls. "Snow," she said. Snow stopped her caressing, visibly disappointed that she had to stop. "Show Kitty your kindness." Snow walked toward where Kitty hung, her pretty sheer peignoir swaying as she walked, her nipples holding the nigh-transparent fabric away from her undulating breasts. "Please!" Kitty begged. "Help me! Help me!" In response, Snow put a soft hand on Kitty's right breast, and another in her underarm. She began a soft twirl with gentle fingertips in both places, impossibly eking even more giggles from Kitty's tiny frame. The fingertips on the breast circled the nipple, coaxing it erect and lovingly rolling it between her thumb and forefinger. "Night," the queen said. Night looked up. "Show her your cruelty." Night grinned evilly and quickly made her way to Kitty's other side. Without preamble, she pinched Kitty's other nipple, began a hard, scratching tickle at her other armpit with her nails. As Kitty was ruthlessly tortured by the additional soft and hard tickles, Queen Alice reclined on her throne and spread her legs, resting one foot outward on a raised ottoman. Her fur fully gaped open now, and Kitty could see the various lengths of ermine inside and out snake about, making love to their mistress's parts as though they were things alive. They encircled her breasts and slid up and down her sex and caressed her inner thighs. The queen's eyes rolled in pleasure. It seemed the louder Kitty laughed, the more intense the fur-lengths adored their mistress. "Girls!" Queen cried with a catch in her voice. "Show her your love." Both girls ceased their tickling and leaned into Kitty. Snow planted soft, wet kisses in Kitty's underarm and continued doing so until she reached Kitty's nipple, which she tenderly suckled between her lips. Night, on the other hand, scraped her teeth against the taut skin of the helpless girl's smooth armpit, nibbling her way down the ribs and over to the other nipple, which she took between her teeth and held there. The queen was visibly in ecstasy. Kitty continued to screech like a laughing banshee, dimly confused as to why the very different touches still tickled. Her face flushed, and the arousal that she'd felt in the wardrobe long ago returned, but still in her nipples and lower. The only sensations she received were tickles. "Of course," the queen whispered breathlessly. "Silly spell." She reclined into the furs that stroked her all over, a sheen of sweat coating her skin. "I have to fix that." "Orgasma!" The queen bucked in her throne, and an explosive and strange new feeling slammed into Kitty, entering through her loins and racing outward to the rest of her body. It was like nothing she had ever known before, and although she still felt the tickles in the panties and the slippers, the rest of her, including the nibbled and suckled nipples, responded to the new sense of undiscovered pleasure with wanton relish. Kitty writhed in orgasmic pleasure now, still giggling, her little girl body contorting in ways that would make a professional whore blush. So intense was the force of the spell that even Snow and Knight couldn't stop themselves from reaching down and quickly stroking their slits to orgasm. The chamber began to glow as the queen reached the crescendo of her pleasure, a pleasure that grew in the other women and the girl as well, peaking as the glow reached its brightest and ebbing away as the glow subsided. Kitty tried to hold on to the feeling, but it slowly slipped off her like a blanket being tugged down over her body and away. To her relief, the panties and the shoes had stopped. Her red ringlets lay plastered to her forehead. She gulped for air. The muscles in her arm and belly were tired, and the ones in her cheeks sorely ached from smiling. She was soaked in sweat. The queen rose from her chair and began to saunter out of the chamber. "I go to bathe," she said. Her attendants moved to follow her, but stopped at the motion of one wrinkled hand. "Clean this one," she declared. "Then take her to her room." Knight and Snow slunk back and turned toward Kitty. They began to undo the silver cords that bound her wrists and ankles, and the poor girl collapsed limply in a heap upon the floor. Snow lifted her feet and Knight her shoulders, and together they carried the unconscious darling out of the chamber and down another corridor.